Welcome to the October 3rd, 2017 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. A couple of preliminary things. If you have cell phones or other electronic devices, please silence them. If there should be an emergency, there are exits to my right at the back of the room and to my left in the front of the room. Please, in case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. Would you stand with me, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call of members, please.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
13 members present.
We have quorum. Presentations of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We're pleased to have two proclamations today. Before I start with that, though, if there's anyone who wants to speak on privilege of the floor, there are blue cards at the back of the room. Please fill one out and pass it forward so you can be recognized. Our first proclamation tonight is having to do with lifelong, important element of our community. I'm going to read it. Whereas in 1951, the Council of Social Agencies met to discuss the social and economic problems of older adults in Tompkins County, and the decision was made that there was a need for a community organization to address the special needs of senior citizens. And whereas on October 19, 2017, Lifelong celebrates 65 years of promoting opportunities for and addressing the special needs of our local senior citizens. And whereas, established in 1952 under the leadership of Jeanette McKay, the Tompkins County Senior Citizens Council, Inc., demonstrated its commitment to creating a community of growing older well. I think I've got that right. My apologies. I'm going to read that whereas again. Whereas established in 1952 under the leadership of Jeanette McKay, the Tompkins County Senior Citizens Council demonstrated its commitment to creating a community of growing older well by supporting mental, physical, and creative growth. And whereas, having been housed in a variety of locations over the years, Lifelong purchased the property located at 119 West Court Street in 1996, where it now coordinates a myriad of programs, activities, events, and volunteer opportunities throughout Tompkins County, in keeping with its mission to quote, enhance the second half, unquote. And whereas the Tompkins County Senior Citizens Council adopted the name Lifelong in 2004 and continues to thrive as a vibrant hub for a wide variety of activities geared to older adults, now therefore I, Michael Lane, do hereby proclaim October 14th, 2017 as Lifelong Day in Tompkins County and do hereby urge all citizens to recognize this occasion throughout the year, and I've signed that as of October 3rd. I'm going to invite Tom Butler up. He's here, and I'm going to give him the proclamation. Tom is the president of the board at Lifelong.
I just want to say, if this is on or not,
We are thriving. We are 65. We are officially now a senior citizen ourselves as an institution. And so we are throwing a birthday party on Saturday the 14th from 2 to 4. Radio London will be playing. We'll have cake. We'll have punch. If you have not been to Lifelong, all of you on the legislature, anyone else, anyone watching, it's an open house. We would love to have everyone come and celebrate our birthday with us. We could not be as successful as we are without the support of the county and the towns and the city of Ithaca, and we are so grateful for everything that you have done for us. Thank you very much.
Another important occasion and another proclamation. Whereas the Tompkins County Youth Services Department was created in 1977 by the Board of Representatives to promote youth development and reduce delinquency and other risk behaviors by identifying youth needs, developing countywide plans to address local priorities, and working with agencies, departments, and municipalities to provide effective programs and services and coordination of services. And whereas Tompkins County Youth Services Department invests time, resources, and funding in communities to enable all youth to thrive in school, work, and life. And whereas for 40 years, volunteers from the Youth Services Board from throughout Tompkins County have set priorities and made funding recommendations with the best interests of youth in mind. And whereas agencies and municipalities that receive funding through the Tompkins County Youth Services Department support programs and services that, in turn, enable youth to build skills and connections to our community. And whereas Tompkins County Youth Services Department wishes to recognize the caring adults from across the county who provide opportunities and build skills that enable our young people to flourish. And whereas these combined efforts continue to support thousands of youth each year to participate in healthy, enriching and safe youth development, recreation, employment, risk reduction, and prevention programs. Now, therefore, I, Michael Lane, Chair of the Legislature, do hereby proclaim October 15th through 22nd, 2017, as Youth Services and Caring Adults Recognition Week in Tompkins County. And on the occasion of its 40th anniversary, the Tompkins County Legislature extends its appreciation and congratulations to the volunteers serving on the Tompkins County Youth Services Board and local youth commissions, to the staff of the Youth Services Department and its contract agencies, and to the many caring adults across Tompkins County for their invaluable contributions to the well-being of our youth. And I've signed that as of today. Now I think we have Dave Sanders here to take this.
Thank you very much. Amy was not able to make it today. Again, my name is Dave Sanders, and I'm here to accept on her behalf. She did write some words that I will now do my best to pronounce and read to you. So, thank you for the recognition of the importance of youth services in Tompkins County. I apologize that I was unable to accept the proclamation, but I am at the Association of New York State Youth Bureau meetings representing the wonderful work Tompkins County provides to our state colleagues. As we begin to celebrate the 40th year anniversary, it is clear that our celebration would reach beyond the work of our small and dedicated team. It felt important to celebrate the stories of how we build a community that cares about young people. Although our team is small, it is clear that what we do behind the scenes to provide for young people in Tompkins County is a part of what makes Tompkins County great. Like us, there is a huge network of caring adults in our community. Coaches, mentors, teachers, leaders, friends, parents, clergy members, and more that give to young people each and every day. It has been exciting and rewarding to celebrate the behind-the-scenes care makers that change the lives of young people. We are honored that the legislature believes in the power of youth and look forward to celebrating Youth Services Week. All members of the legislature have received invitation on our events and are encouraged to stop by. Thank you again for your commitment to the young people of Tompkins County and recognizing the adults that support them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Two wonderful agencies in our county. There will be an executive session tonight at hopefully about 7:30. We will be talking about a personnel matter regarding a particular person. I don't think we have any blue cards tonight. Is there anybody who wants to speak on privilege of the floor and hand up a blue card? Not seeing any motion, but I guess we will move on from municipal public, from a privilege of the floor for the public to any four municipal officials. Do we have any municipal? Oh, there's George McGonigal, city councilor. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much. I don't have much to report other than tomorrow we begin our budget season. And so we're all looking forward to that. And the other thing you've probably heard about is the city tomorrow will vote on whether or not to transfer the Green Street parking garage to the IURA and potentially selling it to a group who want to develop that property into something much more than a parking garage.
Questions for George. Martha Robertson.
Hi, George. Do you have do you get an advance, you know, copy or whatever of the mayor's budget? Do you have any idea what
I do not.
Okay, so you don't know anything that's in there. I'd be interested in, like, the drug enforcement, drug treatment office, whatever.
Yep, so I could tell you tomorrow probably about 10 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. And on the Green Street garage, there's going to be an RFP, is that right? Or what's the process going to be?
I don't know all the details. The first step is to allow Nels Bond at the IURA to take offers and set things up or not. I don't know if that's an RFP or not.
Okay, thanks.
Jim Dennis.
Mike, I have a presentation for George, if I can do that.
Hey, why not?
There,
close to the microphone.
I'm sorry. George and I have had a long relationship, and he did something for me, and I sent him a check to do that, and it didn't work out. The check never got cashed, and so I've asked him some other ways for me to pay him back. So what I brought was a bag full of cash tonight. And it really is money. And what I, you know, it's you always hear elected officials handing each other bags full of cash out behind their cars. Well, I'm going to hand George his bag full of cash right here. And it's for something he did for me that had almost nothing to do with what we do here, but it in a small way it did. So, George, there's your bag full of cash. Always good to hear from you.
George, beware the greasy paper bag.
My faith in public service is renewed.
It's going to help your reelection campaign, I'm sure.
Yeah. I have to say we've never experienced that before, Jim.
And Jim,
no, it's all in good fun.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Well, I got just I want to let you know I got that on tape, George. Now, actually, I do have a question. Can you talk about water quality and what you know and whether anything is in the works to get our water in better shape?
I can't talk about that.
You can't talk about it.
Because I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
It's not real bad. I know that.
I'll invite you to my house.
Is it discolored?
It tastes and smells terrible. To the point where it's... Anyway, we can talk about it.
Did you report it?
Many, many times.
I'll talk to Eric Whitney about it.
Okay. Thank you. It's not just me. It's the
right.
entire neighborhood.
I think it has to do with the new water treatment plant and getting all the kinks worked out of that.
And the old pipes in this section. Yeah, right.
Will Burbank.
Thanks, Mike. George, as you are painfully aware, the discussion about the redesign of the lanes on the west MLK bridge crossing continue. I want to really thank you and Cynthia Brock for the incredible job you've done in terms of connecting not only with city residents but residents of the town and beyond, and trying to explain what's in what has been planned. And I'm pretty sure you were at the meeting of the Board of Public Works where there wasn't really on the agenda, but a lot of people spoke. What is the next step? Where do things go from here?
I can't answer this question. The next step is our engineers are studying the plan, and the things that are in particular being studied are a second traffic light, which is in the plan now, which would be activated by pedestrians on the pretty close to the east end of the bridge over the flood control channel. That would be in addition to the new light that would be at the Floral Ave Hector Street intersection. And the other thing that's being looked at is the center lane, which would be turning lane, the left, it's be reserved for left turns, both going west and east. And the thought is to try to make that deeper so that more cars could be stored in that turning lane. So whether or not to do that is still questioned. So those two things are really the only two things that are still on the table. And so the project, I'm pretty sure, will, unless the Board of Public Works says we can't agree on anything, we're going back to the drawing board, which is very unlikely, the project is going to go through. But those details are still to be determined. And so the Board of Public Works will make their recommendation at their next meeting, which is not until the end of this month. And then Common Council, at our meeting in November, will decide whether we agree with what they've decided on or not. And Council has final say on that second traffic light.
Thank you.
Anyone else? George, thank you for coming over and talking with us.
Thank you.
I've not seen any other municipal officials, so let's move on to privilege of the floor for legislators. Not seeing any hands, we'll move on. Dooley.
Monday, October 16th is Global Cat Day. I don't think anyone's going to bring in a proclamation for that, so I'm mentioning it here. And my comment about that is that any time spent with the cat is time well spent. Thank you.
Anyone else? No more hands. Let's move on. Chair's report. We mentioned that the Bicentennial Commission had a splendid marker unveiling up at the town of Ulysses. We had a large turnout of people from the town. Dedication. There was a community chorus that sang. There was there were people with instruments that played and sang. There was interpretive, dramatic reading of, or not reading, but of acting of a historic moment, let's say, which was Abner Treeman's wife, who spoke about her coming into the town of Ulysses when it was first settled and how it evolved with the mill, the Treeman Mill there and other things. It was a splendid morning. We had our Tompkins swirl ice cream, and I think a good time was had by all, to coin a phrase. I wanted to tell you about that because it's pretty nice. We're going to have some more of these before the end of the year, but we're going through. We're hopefully the city will tell us when they want to have theirs and where we're going to have the marker, because they're pretty important to us as well as all the towns.
Mike?
Yes.
I think, wasn't there a tentative time with the town of Dryden in the next Saturday or so?
The 14th.
Is that definite?
I think we're going to go for the 14th. We're having a little trouble with the commission members who have a couple of things going on. There's airport emergency training that day, but we're still aiming for the 14th at 10 o'clock at Dryden Town Hall.
Thank you.
Bill.
Mike, I did think of one thing I wanted to say under legislator.
Too late.
No.
Go ahead, Will.
I have a sore arm. I got my flu shot today, and once again, I got it at the Lifelong by our health department. They do an amazing job. I can tell you, I have in some years gone to a drugstore and had a very nice, but not all that familiar with giving shots. Pharmacists tried to do it, and it did not work nearly as well. So I encourage everybody to get their flu shots, and kudos to our health department for just doing incredible work. So.
Thank you. Leslie McBean Claiborne.
As Mr. Chair, like Will, we slept on the privilege of the floor for legislators. I apologize. Mr. Chair, I would be remiss if I don't say, and I'm sure the sentiments of this body, sending out our support and condolences and love and everything else to the people in Las Vegas, those who were visiting, those who live there. It was a horrific event that took place, and as a county, we can only learn from that and, you know, be active in our preparation in the event that anything like that should happen here. We're not immune from such things. So I just wanted to say on behalf of this entire body that we stand with the folks there, and I'm hoping that any support that they reach out to us for, that we might be able to lend.
Thank you, Leslie. Certainly was a despicable act out there. I think it would be very appropriate if we took a moment and had a moment of silence for those victims out there and gather our thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any chair's appointments tonight. Are there any questions I can answer on my report? All right, let's go to a report by our county administrator, Joe Mariana.
I think the legislature has heard enough from me over the past few weeks with the budget going on as it has. I don't have a report, but I will want to make a few remarks under Resolution C when we come to that point. So I have no report.
Jim, would it be appropriate to move that up?
It would be fine with me.
Why don't we move up Resolution C?
Thank you for that.
Are we ready? I have a resolution confirming the appointment of the Tompkins County Commissioner of Social Services, And I would move that, and I think it's probably appropriate for me to say the person's name. It is
What's Kip. The second, please? Seconded by Glenn.
It is Kip Kephart, and she is in the House.
Joe, do you want to speak some more to that?
I would. I'd like to just say a few things. First of all, I'd like to offer the legislature an opportunity to go into executive session if it wanted to talk about anything of a personal nature about the candidate.
Is there anyone who feels that they need to have an executive session on this matter?
Yeah, I just wondered why I wasn't chosen.
Didn't apply.
Did you apply?
No,
that. Shucks.
Not seeing any. Go ahead, Joe.
If not, we're fresh from the budget. We're still in the budget, so I think everyone knows that DSS is our largest budget and largest department, and certainly one of the most complex. DSS has a budget that exceeds $45 million. It has a roster of 182 people. So I don't think I need to underscore the importance of the decision that we're making tonight, because I think everybody around this table understands how important this department is and how important this decision is. I'm very pleased to recommend Kit Kephart for this position. Kit will follow, if you confirm this appointment, Patricia Carey, who retired from the department as commissioner back in July. She was good enough to give us a good deal of time to do what we should do, which is to conduct a thorough national search for her replacement. We took that time and used it wisely. We assembled a search committee that consisted of myself and 10 other people to help select the replacement. Those of you who served on the committee, so Leslyn and Anna and anybody else who may be watching on TV, know that it was a spirited group who offered a great deal of input into this decision. I think we are actually much better off for that level of participation and involvement. The search committee included 2 legislators, 3 department heads, the CSEA white-collar union president, the deputy county administrator, plus a client's rights attorney, the head of the Human Services Coalition, and a community representative. Over a period of several months, with a lot of help from Michelle Rios Domingos, who was a tremendous asset to this group, we poured through resumes, we agonized over interview questions, we conducted 2 rounds of interviews. And from all that, Kit Kephart emerged from that very long and thorough process and is my recommendation to fill the DSS commissioner position. Most of you, all of you, know Kit. You probably know that she served as the deputy commissioner of this department for the last 3 years, and for 14 years before that was the department's staff development and quality coordinator. So she has a long and important history with the department, but that's not her whole career. Before she was with Tompkins County, she had an interesting prelude to the career with us. She was an education coordinator in 1 stint with the Alcoholism Council of Tompkins County and a peer education program coordinator in another. She was once the site director for the Special Children's Center in Ithaca and oversaw operations for 2 residential homes for individuals with developmental disabilities. She was a day treatment director at the Schuyler ARC program that provided services to 60 adults with disabilities. So she brings a broad perspective and a great deal of hands-on experience to this position. She has a BA from Mansfield University. She had a dual major there in appropriate areas of personnel administration and human services management. Many of us have come to know Kit and have a high regard for her, not only as a skilled administrator, but as a good person. She's coming to the job with an enthusiasm and a mandate for strengthening DSS's engagement with the community, for making our commitment to inclusiveness, to providing services to our clients with empathy and respect, and for being a constructive partner in solving some of the community's most difficult problems. As you know, the commissioner of DSS needs a big heart, a quick mind, broad shoulders, and a great sense of humor, and I think those words describe Kit to a T. On a couple of technical things, this is a term appointment. This is an appointment the state has to approve. So there's 1 more step in the approval process. and that's to go to the state for its approval, and we're confident that that will happen. And it is, again, a five-year term appointment as required by the state. Kit is here tonight. I see her in the back of the room.
Kit, and you want to come up to the podium?
As she's walking up, I'll just reiterate that I'm sure you share my pride in recommending Kit's appointment to the position of Commissioner of the Department of Social Services, and I ask for your confirmation of that appointment by approving this resolution.
Are there questions for Joe? Are we ready to vote? Jim Dowse.
One comment. Attached to this appointment and resolution is a compliance plan that will be signed by the chairs of Health and Human Services, the Budget Committee, the County Administrator, and Human Resources Commissioner, the new commissioner, and others. And these were things that were part of the total appointment process.
Okay. Anna.
As the current chair of HHS, I just want to say that I'm honored and happy to support this recommendation. And I was very impressed with the budget presentation that you did, learning all of that in a very short period of time. I know you had a lot of experience, but that was very important. And I've been continually impressed with your commitment to the community and reaching out to the community. And having that be in the forefront of what your interest is as the DSS commissioner, I think that's so important because it's such a complicated array of services that are provided by DSS, and having that strong relationship so that people feel supported by DSS is the gateway to the relationship between really the community and the government in so many ways. So I'm very excited to work with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like to say anything to us before we vote?
Mike?
Leslie's got her hand up first, though.
Yeah, I do. I said this in Budget Committee, and I will say it again on the floor of this legislature. From a workforce diversity and inclusion standpoint, I do want to commend the search committee, and if we vote on approving this legislature on taking this action, one of the highest levels of inclusion one can achieve is assisting employees in reaching their full potential within any organization. And this is certainly an example of that level of inclusion. So kudos to all of us for that. Kudos to Kit. As a member of the search committee, certainly one of the things that, you know, I'm interested in, and we were very clear on, is just the expectations and involvement of DSS with the community. DSS often gets a black eye from the community, and so we're looking forward to you as a commissioner being as engaged and involved with this community to build the kind of productive partnerships we can build so that people who need our services feel respected and feel like they're getting their needs met. And last but not least, the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee misses you, and we look forward to having you back. So thank you. For those of you who don't know, Kit was one of the first members on work for the WDIC and was responsible for the WDIC logo that you see around. So thank you, Kit.
Thank you. Thanks, Leslie.
Kit?
Thank you. I look forward to strengthening that chain, that partnership that you're talking about, Leslie, and I don't know if it's appropriate because you haven't voted yet, but I just want to say that I am honored to accept that the appointment to be the commissioner. I really look forward to continuing the work that I've been doing at DSS for a long time, and really serving the community and serving the good people that work for DSS. And I have one, I would say that I have one regret about accepting an appointment to this position. It's a deep one, which is that I won't have more opportunity to work with you and learn from you, Joe, as our great county administrator. So, but otherwise, I'm honored. Thank you.
There you go, Joe. Gotta stay.
Well, let's not hold Kit in suspense any longer. Shall we vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That is unanimous. I guess we go to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
I have no report.
Then we go to our finance director. Are there any questions for Jonathan? I didn't ask for that. All right, we'll go to our finance director, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, Mike. I have two short items here tonight. First, we'll look at our sales tax report for the month of August, which you can find in your packet. If you go to the sales tax distribution summary, I found that our numbers for August appear to be a little bit better than what was reported from Ithaca College. They put out an economic report each month, and they were showing that retail sales was down over 2%. But if you look at the middle section of our spreadsheet here for the county, you can see that our sales tax distributions for August show an uptick of 0.15% compared to August of last year. So I'm not sure why they're reporting numbers lower than us. I guess the way sales tax is collected and the lag thereof that can come from sales tax collections as it goes through the state, back through us, and then from us on to the municipalities, there tends to be a little bit of a lag. But at least we're showing positive results in that August was better than last year's August. In fact, this represents the second best August on record, and it follows in July where we had the very best July on record. So we've had two stellar months to show for sales tax receipt. If you look over in the right-hand columns where we're looking at year-to-date figures, the year-to-date tax distributions for the county's portion total $22,133,724 compared to $21,070,378 for 2016. And this represents a year-over-year increase of $1,063,000 or an increase of 5.05% compared to the year-over-year for last year. So I'll stop there. That's all I have on sales tax for tonight, and then I have one other short item.
All right, let's see if there are questions on the sales tax report.
Okay.
Rick, I have a question.
Go ahead, Mike.
At the expanded budget committee, as happens every year, there's discussion about our county administrator's projection as to the potential of the sales tax revenues for next year and whether that can be adjusted to either provide more funding for program or to give tax relief. And I wondered if you have any different opinion about where the sales tax will be by the end of the year than what we put into the budget at this point.
I don't at this time because we really need to secure the last month of September, which I should be getting the receipts between now and October 15th. Once we get September's numbers, that's the end of the quarter, and as Joe has mentioned in the past, there's always a reconciling factor that the state applies at the end of each quarter. The county administrator's office never really uses our monthly figures to change our projections going forward until we have a full quarter under our belt. So when we went to you in April, we only had one quarter of sales tax to really go through, and then when we were about mid through the summer in this budgeting process, we were able to attain two full quarters. So I wouldn't change anything at this point in time until we have the first full three quarters. And I hope to make that report to you at our very next meeting. Whether we can actually change anything in the budget document at that time, I'm sure that you can. I don't know if the figures will really merit changing it to anything at this point in time, because it's just, we just need to get that one more month's figures before we can tell.
Thank you.
And then my last item is not part of a written report, but I was looking through my emails this past week, and sometimes I put off looking at the things from the state comptroller's office because I really don't like to look at what the state comptroller's office puts out a lot of times, because they usually are auditing this or auditing that or wanting follow-up reports to some other mundane thing. And so when I saw that this had to do with the fiscal fiscal stress monitoring system, if you're familiar with the way that we produce our financial reports, which you recently got our 2016 financial report just a couple of months ago. Before that financial report is done, we do a thing called the AUD. And the AUD is an annual update document that we have to supply to the state. And it briefly takes your financial report at an earlier point in time, and it makes you report your finances to the state on their financial software system. It's a complicated system where you have to change all your numbers from the way that we report things on our financial software to the state's financial reporting system. And we usually get that all accomplished in the month of May. As a result of having that annual update document, or AUD, sent to the state by the end of May, the governor's office can look at us with as part of his stress monitoring program, which has only been around 4 or 5 years. And in the past, we've always done well with the stress monitoring program, because what they do with those numbers from that document is that they calculate a whole lot of ratios, ratios that you may or may not be familiar with, but they look at all our funds as a group. They also look at just our general fund singularly, but they test it with a lot of financial indicators. And if you have a very high score, that's bad. If you're like 45% and up, means you're at some level of fiscal stress. And they send comments and reports to legislators and to folks of those towns, villages, and in our case, county. In the past few years, our fiscal stress score has always been remarkably low, between 3 and 5%. And that's a good thing. That means that there's very few gray marks on our report at all. So when they test all the financial indicators, they've shown in the past few years that we've fallen in that 3 to 5%, not at hardly any fiscal stress whatsoever. This year we got the results of a report. It was 0.0%, which meant there were no gray marks. And I haven't even heard that that was even possible. But there were no gray marks. And so I thought if you'd like to see the letter or the comment or the email that came from the state comptroller's office, I would be glad to share it with you. I think it already went to Mike, and I think Joe has seen it also. So I just thought I would bring that level of good news to you so that you could see that as far as fiscal stress goes, except this doesn't include that now we're doing transactions with bags of money. I'm sure that will all go out the window now. We're transacting business with bags of cash. But apart from that, we've done pretty well up to now. So thank you very much.
Are we going to frame this and put it on the wall? I think that's warranted.
Questions for Rick?
There's a bunch.
Martha.
Yeah, I was going to say that should certainly go on Joe's wall or in that bag of things you're going to take home. So do you have any idea where we were when Joe started? I mean, I just as a measure.
They didn't do it back then. They've only done it for the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So have we always, since then, always been between 3 and 5%?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, fantastic. All right, great. Thanks.
Any other questions? Thank you, Rick, for your report. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I would like to add what's in your packets, resolution in support of New York State aid to Puerto Rico and urging our federal government to provide immediate additional support for Puerto Rico and the United States Virgin Islands.
Is there a second for adding it to the agenda by Anna? All in favor of adding it, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That will be added to the agenda. Let's go to consent agenda. There's one advisory board appointment tonight out of the HHS committee to the Youth Services Board, Lisa Campbell. We'll go to the resolutions out of the Public Safety Committee, Resolution A, adoption of intermunicipal emergency communications agreement and bylaws, Emergency Response Oversight Committee, ID 7300. Resolution B, rescinding bylaws of Tompkins County Fire, Disaster, and Emergency Medical Services, EMS, Advisory Board, and delegating duties to Emergency Response Oversight Committee, that's ECROC, Fire and EMS Subcommittee, ID 7301. That's our consent agenda. We've removed Resolution A. All those in favor of, or I need a motion on the consent agenda, please. Jim Dennis, seconded by Dave McKenna. All those in favor of the consent agenda, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, let's go to standing committees. Transportation Committee does not have a report because we did not meet last month. We will be meeting again this month, and we'll be reviewing and taking a look at some of the things we've talked about more this year and see where things have gotten on highways, trails, airport, and some other matters. Any questions I can answer? Government Operations Committee, Daniel Klein is the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are meeting tomorrow, Wednesday, October 4th at 3:30 in these chambers. A couple items we'll be discussing and voting on. We do have a resolution now for a credit card policy for the county to accept credit card payments for taxes and other fees. So we will likely be voting on that tomorrow, and then it'll come to the full legislature at a later time. We will also be having a bit of a discussion about laptops for legislators. There were some questions raised about what might be involved in that in terms of personal use versus county use and what's foilable, those kinds of things. So it'll be a discussion. There's no action taken, but we'll have an opportunity to ask some questions. And then we will also continue with the discussion about the opioid lawsuit. We do not have a resolution. It'll just be a discussion. What's happening now is that we're discussing with the department heads how they feel about it and what their role might be, because there's going to be some work. If we do join such a lawsuit, there's going to be some work by the departments to gather a lot of information. We want to make sure the department heads are on board and understand what it is we might be getting into. So we'll be discussing it tomorrow, possible resolution at the November 1st Government Operations Committee.
Questions for Dan? Thank you, Dan. Let's go to the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson chairs it.
Thank you, Mike. There's no report since the last legislature meeting. We meet next this Thursday at 3 o'clock in this room. And there are a number of things on the agenda about the from the Capital Reserve Fund for Natural Resource Protection, and we will be hearing a report from the from Cornell University on the radiation and chemical disposal sites. I know that near the airport. I know that that report's always given to facilities, but duly asked that the PDEC also have a chance to hear about it, and so we'll be doing that Thursday. So 3 o'clock in this room.
Questions for Martha? Let's go to Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael.
we obviously did our resolution, and I don't have anything else under to vote on. I just want to report or remind people that October 10, 12, and 16 are the voting meetings for the 2018 budget. We have finished listening to departments. There's one small portion that we, I think, capital budget we still need to talk about. And then the voting begins on the days I specified. Please get in contact with Kevin McGuire. Tell him what you would like done, and he can put that together for you. So other than that, I don't have anything at all, unless there's some questions. Martha.
Well, I guess it's to Rick, and you said we should get the third quarter sales tax report in mid-October. I mean, it sounds like hit or miss about whether we get it before we vote the final vote on the budget. Do you know? Is there a particular day you usually get it?
It all depends how much it might change. I'm sure that if it's within just a percent or a percent and a half or something like that, I'm sure Joe's not going to recommend any changes, but I think I'm going to be able to have those figures by the next legislative meeting, which is about 2 weeks from tonight.
Okay. Back to Jim.
I want to remind you all that even though we have those three voting meetings, we can do amendments right up to the last minute before the budget is finally approved by the ledge. I wanted to note an article that I saw in the IJ this morning, and it was talking about casino revenue of El Lago, the Tioga Downs, and literally all the casinos along the thruway. And it was very interesting in the sense that none of them seemed to be reaching the numbers they thought they would reach. And I know there's been some discussion about the amount of money in our budget, and I just warn you that, you know, that possibility is out there, that these things are not going to produce what people think they're going to produce, and we have to be aware of how we treat ourselves in the use of that money. So I just bring that to your attention. Other than that, I don't have anything.
Duly then, Martha.
Jim, since we were informed by the Commission of Correction that our variances are not going to be extended beyond the end of this year, I am hopeful that as a body we may take action to hurry up with implementation of some of the alternatives that have been suggested to us. And with that in mind, I would much rather see us deal with that perhaps during one of these scheduled budget voting meetings and put off voting on a final budget until we had done some of that. I don't know if that's anything you've been thinking about, but it's certainly something I've been thinking about.
If I may answer for myself, no, we have not been thinking about that, but I think all of you who've been involved in ATI programs and all the kinds of things the county has done for years, if we implemented the program tomorrow, it would be a year probably before you could see the kind of results that you were hoping for. So I don't think we're ready in October or November of 2017 to start implementing things. We don't have a criminal justice coordinator. We haven't really finalized all of the things that we're going to do. And I would hate to see us move too quick and then really not end up with what you were looking for over the long haul. So the simple answer is no, we have not thought about that. At least I haven't, and I don't foresee us doing anything between now and 12/31.
Martha, then Anna.
Well, I want to talk about that, but I'll finish about the sales tax. So, Jim, you said So we have three voting meetings, and the 16th is the third one, right? The next night is a legislature meeting. On the 16th, do we vote on the tentative budget to send it to the legislature or to send it to public hearing?
The 16th is voting meeting.
Right. Is that one? That's the third one. I'm looking at my calendar. So that's the third voting meeting. Is the hope then that we would vote it out and send it to public hearing?
Is that Kathy,
yes.
Is that the schedule?
Yes, it is.
Got it. Okay, and the public hearing is on the 30th.
Correct. 10:30.
Right, okay.
Seven.
All right. So, so we might... We probably won't have that sales tax report by the time we vote the tentative budget, but we would have it by the time we vote the final budget. Okay, then about what Dooley's asking about kind of moving up anything. Let's say we vote to add a jail nurse. Can we start the hiring process as soon as we pass the final budget, but we don't have to wait till January 1st to start the hiring process?
Joe?
I think so. When I heard Dooley's comment, I think you can stay on the schedule that you're on and still accomplish what you're talking about, which is the acceleration of things that you want to do. And to your point, Martha, once we know that the legislature is inclined to do the criminal justice coordinator, for example, there's a lot of work that goes into getting a job description ready, posting it, going all through all that stuff. I think what we would see is you sent us a signal that you want to get that started as quickly as possible, and we'd start to work on all that administrative stuff the moment it was clear that you want to green light that. I mean, we could then either start the position as close to January 1st as possible. There could be some. I mean, there's some if the initiatives are funded with one-time money, that's really just money out of the bank. And so whether the money comes out of the bank on January 1st or December 31st doesn't make much difference. So we may decide to, on the one-time items, to advance fund those. Once the budget is done and we know what you want to do, it's conceivable that we could get some of those one-time things going before the 1st of next year.
So the signal you say... You'd need. Would that be the vote on the final budget, or say a vote, like saying unanimous
truth,
support, yeah, in the tentative budget?
I think that's, and really, it's no harm, no foul. If it looked like in the tentative budget you wanted to create the criminal justice coordinator, it's really not a big deal for us to get going on the paperwork to have that position in place as soon as we can, and we would start based on that signal.
Okay, and I think that'd be important to do. And even if somebody comes in before January 1st, we could maybe plug a budgetary hole with... I mean, if we find somebody, we get the position ready to go and find the right person. Short-term funding from contingency or something?
That's conceivable. It takes a little while. I mean, sometimes we create these... We say we're going to do it on January 1st. By the time we fill, it's March or April. I think that's what the legislature is saying you'd like to avoid. You'd like to get off to a fast start.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that was Mike Sigler's suggestion over email, and I think it was a good one. And it's not that the results are going to show up the day we hire somebody, but that the longer, the more time that goes before those new positions are in place, we haven't made any progress.
Yeah. And to Jim's point, you can stay on the schedule you're on and still accomplish those goals.
Great. Thank you very much.
Anna's next.
Martha, thank you. That was the first comment that I had. And the one addition that I would have to that is that we could also have the start date for any of these positions be January 1st. Could we not? If we find them ahead of time. And that way they know ahead of time that that's what we're looking for, and we have everything lined up. And we have the DA's position that we're looking for, probation officer that we're looking for, the nurse that we're looking for. So it seems that there's certainly more than one. And it's a lot of work at once. But it seems also that there are some ATIs that would have an overnight effect, like potentially if we decide to go forward with the electronic bracelets in court. I'm not remembering the term right now, but those we could also, and they would have an immediate effect.
And I'm not thinking of a bunch of others, but I know that there are others that would happen overnight. So those we could also pull out of contingent if we wanted to start those ahead of time, and then could we not? Okay. And that's what you're referring to of the ATIs. Okay.
Carol.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to confirm those dates and times again. So the were you saying, Jim, that the we vote the full budget to go to public hearing at the legislature meeting on the 17th?
Yes.
Okay, and then the time of the budget hearing on the 30th?
On the 30th?
Seven o'clock.
Yeah, seven.
7 o'clock.
Seven.
We're giving you time enough to go home and tape the pumpkins up on your windows.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the Jail Study Committee. Rich John is the chair.
Thank you, Mike. I'm reminded that Richard Feynman won the Nobel Prize talking about subatomic levels, how things don't actually happen in the same sequence of time that we follow in real life. And we just had the discussion about Jail Study Committee that happened before my report, but that's what we're going to talk about at the Jail Study Committee. At least one of the items is whether we can pre-plan or accelerate anything without sacrificing any of the ultimate goals that we're looking to get. So that's on October 19th at 5 o'clock here. And questions?
Anyone have questions? Thank you, Rich.
Okay.
Let's go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslyn McBean-Claiborne is chair.
Well, the wonderful Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee will meet on October 25th at 3:30 in the Old Jail Conference Room.
Question. Back to Rich for the Public Safety Committee.
Thank you, Mike. I have a resolution, number D, appropriation from contingent fund, replacement pay, sheriff's office, ID 7244.
Is there a second? Martha? Discussion. Short form roll call, please.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank? Mr. Burbank? Sorry.
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous.
And then I just would say that the Public Safety Committee will be meeting at 3:30 on October 19th. I believe we're going to have a report regarding the EMS service, and I anticipate we'll also be talking about the report we received at our special meeting last week on police consolidation. So it should be an interesting discussion.
Can you repeat the date, please?
October 19th at 3:30.
Thank you.
Rich, I think you also have Resolution A, which was pulled from consent.
Oh, right. I apologize.
I think you pulled it.
I did pull it. I'm creating my own work here. I pulled it because Legislator Kiefer has offered some proposed amendments to the intermunicipal agreement and the bylaws that are proposed and attached to the resolution, and I've looked through those, and I also checked with Lee Shurtleff, who's in agreement, and I would like to move them with those changes in place.
Seconded by Anna. Discussion. Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Anything else, Rich?
I believe that's it, unless anybody has questions.
Questions?
I don't have a question. I want to say that it was wonderfully easy to work with Lee Shurtleff on that kind of nitty-gritty change. Is he here? Yes. Lay Lee. So it was a pleasure to work with him to do this.
Well, thank you for doing those.
We'll go to Anna Kellis, who chairs the Health and Human Services Committee.
We will be meeting on October 16th. Normally we meet at 4:30, but we will be meeting at 3:30 to 5:30, and it'll be a very tight agenda, and we'll roll right into the budget meeting. And I wanted to note that there will be two presentations. We have two left, or one or two after this, but one of the housing presentations, and this one will be the Office of the Aging. And the other large presentation that we will have, Dr. William Klepek is coming to present on safe injection sites. And that, I think, is going to be a very exciting, dynamic presentation. The room will be hopefully full so people can hear what research he has collected. I have heard that it is full of a lot of research, in particular documenting some of the experiences in other sites around the world. I think that will be very helpful for us as we continue the discussion, in particular from a more scientific point of view. And thank you to Will Urbank for recommending. I know that Dr. Klepek spoke at the Board of Health board presentation or board meeting and the Community Mental Health Services Board, and you saw those both, so highly recommended it. So thank you. And that is, again, on the 16th at 3:30 here.
Questions? Martha.
Oh, so you moved it up to 3:30.
Correct, so that we could fit in front of the budget meeting instead of 4:30.
Other questions for Anna? Thank you, Anna.
Absolutely.
Everyone's so quiet tonight. We'll go to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. David McKenna is the chair.
Thank you, Mike. F&I has not met since the last legislature meeting, and we will be meeting this coming Tuesday, 3:30 here in this chambers. That's my report.
Questions for Dave. Martha.
Dave, we've had a lot of conversation in Ellis Hollow with Jeff Smith, and Joe's been on some of that, about dump trucks and just an enormous number of dump trucks going. And we're not sure if they're coming to or from the quarry on Quarry Road. I'm not sure if you've been copied in on those, but do you have any?
I've heard about it.
I'm sorry?
I have heard about it.
Okay, so I don't know if the committee is going to talk about that at all, or if you have.
I believe Jeff's going to speak about it a little bit, but
okay.
I don't have a definite on that at the moment.
Okay.
Thanks. I will ask him, though.
All right, thanks very much.
Individual member filed resolutions. Carol Chalk has added one to the agenda tonight. Carol, do you want to move your resolution?
Yes, I will move it, and then if I get a second, I will speak to it. Do you want me to move it? Do you want me to read the title again? Resolution in support of New York State aid to Puerto Rico and urging our federal government to provide immediate additional support for Puerto Rico and the United States Virgin Islands.
And I have a second from Anna Kellis.
Great. There have been many bad storms in recent memory, many of them with terrible consequences, without us weighing in, but this one is different. I saw this article in editorial in the Ithaca Journal on Saturday, and went looking for news reports and more information on Sunday. Wrote this resolution on Monday and circulated it to the legislature and made some adjustments today. So thank you to Kathy for bearing with me on that. This one, 2 weeks after the second of two devastating hurricanes, citizens of our great nation are lacking the basics necessary to ensure their continued survival. Some of you may have seen the footage today from one area of San Juan, but you don't have to go very far from there to find a lack of potable water, empty food markets, even there, and impassable roads. Over half the population of Puerto Rico lack clean drinking water. Only one of its 69 hospitals was fully functional as of 2 days ago. 80% of the crops were destroyed. 91% of cellular communication sites,
1,360 of the 1,600 cell phone towers were toppled, 85% of telephone and internet cables were destroyed, and only 5% of the island's electricity is in service. So the reports that we're getting tends to be from those areas or the few areas that have working generators with fuel for those generators. I also researched the U.S. Virgin Islands and what's going on there. While they have potable water, food, and services, many of these services are working or working much better than they are in Puerto Rico. As of earlier today, reports were that several thousand homes remain without roofs or have only temporary roof coverings or don't even have temporary roof coverings. And while plastic, these sheets of blue plastic have been delivered, deployment to homes remains extremely inadequate. I saw one report that had only about 45 of these 1,600 temporary blue plastic roofs that had been delivered to a particular area had actually been installed, and that was as of earlier today. There, shipping restrictions have been lifted for all the other big storms in Texas, in Florida, for Sandy and the storms here, but those similar shipping restrictions weren't lifted in this situation until late last week, and they've actually only been lifted for 10 days. Given the magnitude of this, that's extremely inadequate for the amount of time they're going to need support and extra supplies. Tompkins County has a proud history of sending support during storms and other disasters, and I learned today from Brian Robison that we've offered aid in this instance, as we always do. And so I'm very proud of us for doing that, and we do it consistently. That gets coordinated through the New York State Sheriff's Association, and they've let us know that they don't need us at the moment because New York State has stepped up with generous support. New York State is sending state police, paying technicians for the grid. They're providing food and water. New York City and other fire departments and others are collecting supplies and sending volunteers. We count on the federal government in these natural disasters. We pay significant taxes, as do the residents of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Island, in part so that the federal government will be able to provide emergency support. And this resolution thanks Governor Cuomo and the New York State for what it is doing and for those who are helping, and asks the federal government to provide additional support and step up. So
thank you.
Hope
discussion.
You'll join me in supporting it.
Are we ready to vote? Or Will Burbank?
I want to thank Carol for leaping to do this and putting this together. I mean, it's just hard to get our brains around the devastation, and thank you.
Anna Kellis.
The only thing that I wanted to add, also my thank you, Carol. I think that what we're asking more than than everything that this territory that is part of the United States be treated like every other community that has experienced this. And I think that is the most unconscionable part of this that I wanted to reiterate. It was alluded to. And I really hope that we do see that equality and treatment and support. So thank you, Carol.
Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That is unanimous. Thank you, Carol. That's important.
Thank you all.
Dave?
Yeah, I'd just like to put out the correct time for the F&I meeting, which is 3 o'clock, not 3:30. My apologies.
Okay. Thank you. We have minutes of September 11th. Okay. Martha's moving them. Seconded by Rich. Discussion? Those in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Those opposed? We have one opposed. Is there any unfinished business? All right, we're going to move into executive session. Actually, we may have a wait again. We'll find out. But we had scheduled it for 7:30, but you folks have been so quiet and rapidly working tonight that we may have to take a brief recess. But I need a motion to go into executive session to discuss a personnel matter with respect to a particular person. Moved by Anna. Is there seconded by Dooley? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay, we will do that.
Mike?
Yep.
Excuse me, I am embarrassed. You sometimes ask if anyone wants to change a vote. On the minutes, I voted no sort of reflexively, but I wanted to support these minutes. Could I ask to reconsider?
Without objection.
Say no, it's too late, Mike.
That was great. That was wonderful.